So we felt this morning we needed to pray about the coronavirus. We needed to talk about it. And I did get a sense, I don't know if you kind of feel this, but this morning seems a bit heavy. Yeah, we're saying that, aren't we? There's people at the front. And we feel that actually it affects everyone. And the question is, how do we respond as the people of God? And that's what I want to look at this morning. And what happens is, you go on Facebook, come Pip, and we get some interesting pictures. You've been around Stuart's house, if you've seen. And then you get the next one. Yep, that's it. That's for the IT bods amongst us. It's going to keep it away. These for the people who like a... Next one, like a bit of beer. And then there's the next one, which... okay, so be just careful what you eat, what you're stuck up on. So we kind of have that kind of sense of, you know, there is a sense of people trying to lighten what's going on. But the truth is, the world is a very anxious place at the moment, isn't it? People are very, very fearful. Because there is so much uncertainty. And that's true for me. As my daughter keeps telling me, I am a person who has an underlying health issue. Well, thanks very much for telling me that. And she's fearful for me. And then there's just panic, isn't there? Go to Asda, go to Sainsbury's, try and find a toilet roll. What in the world is that about? There's that thing, isn't it? FOMO, fear of missing out. Yes, I want to have 144 toilet rolls stacked in my toilet just in case. But actually, there are massive questions that are being asked. The question is, will I get the virus? It's reckoned that 60 to 80% of the UK will actually contract the virus. What will happen to me? Will I die? Will someone in my family die? What is going to happen to me financially? What is going to happen to my pension? Because the world is crashing and all that money stacked up in my pension. Where's it going, Darren? It's going... Will I lose my job? These are serious questions that people are asking, aren't they? And we know that around us, the human response is fear and worry, anxiety. And if you think about it, the whole media thing does not help, does it? Let's have a next one, please, then, Pippa. Oh, yeah. No. Sorry, I forgot him. Okay, the next one, please. But you see, this is the Mail today. Good old Daily Mail, Sunday Mail. Army to guide hospitals and supermarkets. Really? And then, actually, you can't see that because it's quite dark. But it talks about this. There's a website that talks about data and what's been happening, and it just talks about the number of mentions in media that various pandemics, whatever you want to call them, around the world have had. And so for HIV, there were 69.5 million mentions in the media over a number of years. But with COVID-19, I don't know if you can see that, but we're up to 2.1 billion mentions in media. And I have to say, on Wednesday, when I looked at that figure, it was 1.1 billion. So that has doubled in like 5 days, the number of times people are talking about COVID-19. So no wonder the world is in complete panic. And every day we get the figures, don't we? These are the people who've tested. This is the number of people who've got it, and this is the number of people who've died. And so the media just kind of fuels the fear that people have. And I kind of have to say that even this morning, there's that sense of, oh, what is going to happen? Where is the world going? What is going to happen to me? And I see it all around me when people start to talk. Went to see some friends last night. We did the fist bump, no hugs, no kisses. She was saying, you know, I'm anxious for my parents. I don't know what's going to happen. And so we have all around us, people are saying, you know, what is going to happen? But then I want to say, okay, let's just take a step back. Because this morning, I believe this is true, that all of you would call yourself a Christian. Okay? You're in different places with your faith. You have different, you know, in terms of how much you know about God and how long you've been a Christian. But each one of us would call ourselves a Christian. My question to you is, as a Christian, should your response be different to everybody else's? Or are you just going to be living like everybody else, thinking about what is going to happen, maybe having fear, anxiety, worrying? Surely as God's people, we have something else, don't we? We have someone else. And I just want to kind of look at the word of God today to actually try and lift your heart, your spirit, and try and lift your eyes, not about what's happening around us, not what the Daily Mail is saying, but what the Bible says and what God says. Amen. He is ultimately the source of our hope and our strength and our comfort and our power. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something you've never probably done in church, or you haven't done it for a long time, is during a sermon, could you say, Amen?
Amen.
See, Stuart's starting it. It should be a Mexican wave that goes to the back. Oh, it reached it. It just missed out all the people in between. You did it. That's great, you see. Because what we need to do this morning is we need to reaffirm our faith in who we believe in. And we need to take our eyes off what's happening and fix our eyes on God. Amen. In my notes, it says, church, let's get a grip. Let's get a hold on. Thank you. So this morning, we're going to worship. We're going to think about the God we worship. Yeah. We're going to think about what we have as Christians and then how God wants us to live in the days that lie ahead. So let's look at Psalm 46. If you have a Bible, you can open it. You can see it's going to be on the screen. But we're going to look at a psalm that if you Bible scholars want to know, they don't know where the psalm came from. There's two theories. One, what it was a psalm that was sung on the way to the temple. And they kind of acted out this psalm. The other theory is it goes back to the days when Sennacherib. All heard of him, haven't you? Never heard of him. He's in the Bible, but he wasn't a good person. He was the king of Assyria. He decided that he was going to go and take Jerusalem. He had 185,000 soldiers. They went to Jerusalem. King Hezekiah said, "Whoa, these people are coming. What are we going to do? Let's pray." And so they prayed. And all these guys who were outside the city, all of a sudden, they all died. Got that? Gone. Just like that. God took them out. And so those inside the city were saved. And it's believed that maybe the psalm was written to commemorate the brilliant thing that God did on that day. So let's read the first line. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Thank you. Good, isn't it? Okay. If we could just, I'd love to find a way just to kind of get some kind of tube, stick it in your head, and kind of implant that into your brain this morning. Okay? I watched The Matrix the other night. Wife was out. I just thought, oh, well, I'll watch The Matrix. And they kind of put things into people's heads, and they kind of then are able to do great things. Watch it for yourself. But if we could take that verse and plant it in your brain, and that everything that happens around you could be filtered through that verse, that would be amazing. Because it would change the way you feel and think. Because God is, perhaps we should say it together, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Okay? We're in trouble. So is he cleared off? No. He's with us. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is with him in her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. They're wonderful words. And as the people of God, we need to take them on board. We need to realize that they were written for a time, but they are written for now as well. So let's do the Bible thing, shall we? Let's just kind of unpack some of that. I want to talk, first of all, that God is our refuge and strength. Okay? So that's it's an amazing statement. And it goes on to say that God is with us. So we talk about this amazing God, the God who created all things, the God who created this universe, who sustains it. And this great God is ever present with his people. He's the one where we can find rest. He's the one where we can go to and find safety and security. He is the one who is the safest, the strongest, and always with us. If we look at the next one, we'll see that that theme is there throughout the Bible. The presence of God, the power of God. And if you just want to kind of encourage yourself, pick up the Psalms and start to read them. Because actually the psalmist had a really difficult time. They went through all kinds of problems. Psalm 91 is a bit like that. But actually what they found is the reassurance they had was this is their God. And he is with them. He is able to do more than they could ever ask or imagine. Amen. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And for some of us, maybe that's how it feels. But death is casting its shadow over our lives. What does the psalmist say? I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. So whatever we face, whatever the future is going to bring, as the people of God, we have God with us. And he is the one we need to look to. And he is the reason we should not fear. That's very easy to say, isn't it? But we need to start thinking in that way. That my life is actually in God's hands. I remember as a little boy. Yes, I was little. And I remember as a child that My dad, he had a company car. He had a Morris 1000 Traveller. And some of you are going, I remember those. It was a very strange car because it was like an estate, but it had wood on it. It had like a wooden frame, wood around the windows. Remember one Christmas, we went to see my auntie. We dropped off some Christmas presents. And then we were coming home. And the car broke down. And I remember my dad kind of putting his hand in his pockets. There were six kids, so we never had a lot of money. And he looked at the money he had in his hand, and he had enough bus fare to get us halfway home. Just him and me, halfway home. So we got halfway home, and then he said, right, William, we're going to have to go down that road, and then we'll take a left. And you know what? I looked down that road, and there were no streetlights down that road. And at that point, I remember physically stopping and just shaking my head because I was so fearful of going down the road. Now, you know, and I do, that actually there was no problem. There were no nasties in the road. It was just I looked ahead and I was fearful. And I remember him holding my hand, his strong hand, and saying, come on. You're with me. And I still remember it today, that feeling of just kind of almost strength rising up within me and saying, okay, I'm with Dad. Yeah. I'm not going to fear. And for me, that's a picture of where we are today. Yeah. We need to hold on to God and say, the world around me is very fearful, but I'm not going to fear because I know that God is my refuge and my strength. He is the ever-present help. Therefore, I will not fear. Maybe we need to think that. Maybe we need to say that. I will not fear. I will not fear. I will not fear. Because God is with me. So, God is our refuge and strength. Okay, let's move on. Let's have another thought, shall we? And then it says, this one I want to say is actually, who's in control of our world? Okay, let's have a few names, shall we? How about Donald?
Oh, dear.
Is Donald in, if you don't know who I mean, Donald Trump, the man who said, oh, the virus is nothing, and then shuts his country down so no one can visit because it's so scary. But the good thing is Donald hasn't got the virus, he told us today. Ooh, aren't we? We're all safe still. Okay, but is Donald in charge? Is Boris... Where did these people get these names? Is Boris in charge? No. Do you believe God's in charge? Do you believe God is in control of what's going on? I was listening to some prophetic stuff this morning, and one guy said he believed the virus is a supernatural thing because the fear is disproportionate to the effect, and therefore something spiritually might be happening. But ultimately, we don't know, but is God in control? And that's what the psalmist has to say. He says, you know, that I'm not going to give, even though there's like an earthquake, everything's falling apart, I'm still not going to fear. Because it talks about the city and it says, God is within her. She will not fall. The psalmist had such a confidence that God knew what he was doing, that God was in control, and therefore what was happening wasn't going to, God was going to look after his people. It wasn't out of control, but it was very much in God's hands. And we need to realize that God is doing something. God is at work. We don't know what he's doing, because these are unprecedented times. But God is doing something, and we just need to remember that. And we need to trust him. We need to trust him. We need to hold on to him. I've been thinking about what's been going on, and I thought to myself, do you know what? I wonder how people felt on the 3rd of September in 1939. I'm looking around. I don't think anybody was there at the time. You were. How old were you? Four. Five. 3rd of September 1939. And David? Four. 3 months, okay. Thank you. What happened on 3rd of September 1939 was that there was an announcement over the radio. Neville Chamberlain basically said, as a country, we are now at war. Wow. And we think about the COVID virus and people are fearful, but I cannot imagine what happened and how people felt on that day when they were suddenly told, we're at war. That your family could be decimated because your loved ones will have to go and fight. There'll be no food. Everybody will be put to work to do something to support the war effort. And I'm just struck by how the nation responded and how there were calls for days of prayer. Mm-hmm. And they called upon God. Because they trusted God would do the right thing. Amen. Because there was a recognition that actually God is in control. Mm. 7 days of prayer. And interesting, one of them was, I think, just before Dunkirk. And the nation prayed. And the English Channel calmed enough for the boats to cross and for thousands of men to return safely. We need to look to God. Yeah. Yeah. I've written an email to the bishop today. Said, what's happening about praying? When are you going to call the church to pray? When is the nation going to be called to pray? Because we know that God is in control, and actually his people, when they pray, he will hear our prayers and he will act and do what only he can do. And when we think this thing is so out of control, when countries get shut up and nobody can get in or out, and we've all heard stories of that, let's remember that actually God is in control. And let's fix our eyes on him. I'm going to finish. I've got one more thing I want to say. Thirdly, God is at work. Okay, it says, and we know this verse, don't we? Everybody kind of quotes, be still and know I am God. Okay, we know that, don't we? It says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And isn't it? What God is saying is actually just recognize what I'm doing. I'm doing an amazing thing. I've just saved a city. I've just saved thousands of lives by wiping out the enemy. And I have to say that actually we need to realize that God is at work. And for his church, this is a wonderful, get this, a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah.
Because if we're different from the world around us, people will see that. We had a great conversation in Alpha the other night. Claire's not here, but Claire's been coming to Alpha, and you know, God's been working in her life. And her mum said to her the other day, she said, she told her mum she was coming to church. And her mum said, yeah, I know. I can see. She's right, isn't it, Faye? I can see you are different. You are so much happier than you were before. I'm going, of course she is. Oh, yeah. God. But for people to see it and realize it. And I think what a number of people have written about coronavirus on the internet, and lots of people have talked about leadership and how the church needs to step up and offer leadership and offer solutions and offer a way through what we're going through. And I want to say to you, actually, this is really important, that as the church, we are the people of God. Yes? Okay, it says in It says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, says this. You are a chosen people.
Amen.
Oh, I've got a few then. Okay, a royal priesthood.
Amen.
Okay. A holy nation.
Amen.
Oh, come on, you. Some of this side's very quiet. Okay, people belonging to God.
Amen.
That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Amen. Come on.
Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God.
Amen.
But what you missed out was the bit, it says you are royal priesthood. Okay, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? You're royal and you're a priest, okay? What does a priest do? Just work Sundays. I know, I always hear that joke. But actually a priest is someone who stands between the people and God.
Yeah.
And brings the people to God and says, meet these needs, Father. And that's exactly what we are to be.
Hallelujah.
As the church.
Yeah.
We are to be a priesthood, people who are praying for the world around us.
Mm.
I want the church to be praying, because what we're doing is we're calling on God.
Hallelujah.
To make a difference.
Yeah.
To bring healing, to bring hope,
yeah.
To bring life.
Yeah.
So, as the church, as a priest, a royal priest, it means that you are going to get an email every day. If you don't get an email, we'll get something to you. You're going to get an email to ask you to pray every day.
Yeah.
And even fast. Whoa.
Come on, somebody.
He's warming up at the front. But to fast at 8 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you might have eaten your dinner already, but just get off social media. Stop watching the news. Just get on and pray.
Mm.
Because we know that probably as a church, our meetings are going to be restricted. But we can still all pray. And so we would say to you, let's get praying. Let's see God turn around what's happening.
Yeah.
Let's see lives changed, because the people of God are doing what the people of God are called to do.
Amen.
So we're going to pray. The second thing, we need to speak.
Yeah.
Okay? We need to be people who speak hope into other people's lives. We need to tell them there is a God who is listening, there's a God who is watching, and there's a God who is able to help them.
Mm.
A God who can bring healing. So we need to speak into people's lives and bring encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, we need to share and serve. Now, this is something we talked about as elders. This is going to be very difficult, isn't it? Because actually, most of us, we're not going to be going knocking on people's doors, offering to help, because that's just not appropriate. We're not going to be able to hug. I kind of miss that. Yeah? I think what we're going to do, when the virus thing is done, we're just going to have a Sunday morning where we just hug for like half an hour, just to kind of top up on missing out on the hugs. Yeah? I have to give it a fancy name. A hug fest. We'll put it on Facebook, shall we? But there's things we can't do, but there are things that we can do. So we're talking in elders the other night about how we make sure we contact people who maybe are on their own, who are elderly. People who've been isolated, how do we keep contact with them? Because we might not be able to see them here in church, but they are still part of the church. We need to show them love, that they are part of our family. The other thing we're going to do is we're talking with Food Bank about helping meet needs in our community, because there'll be some people whose incomes will drop dramatically and they possibly won't be able to feed their family in the way they should do. And so we're trying to think of ways that we can bring food to people who are in need. So we want the church to be spiritually praying and ministering but also practically ministering to the people around us. We have such good news. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and God has given us resources, and we need to share those things with those around us. I read something by Rick Warren, who's always prolific on these times, and he said this. He says, this is time for the church to become. We're a family that faces things together. We're disciples who grow through trials. We're God's servants who care for the hurting. And we're witnesses who share the good news. We are worshippers who look to God. That is the church.
Amen.
And that is you and me. And at this time, I believe God is calling all of us to play our part. That we might have something to offer the world. And we might be able to share the love of God, the power of God, the strength of God with those around us. We said a few weeks ago, the church is the hope of the world. Let's be that church. Let's bring that hope. Let's show the love of Christ.
Amen.
Let's be his hand and his feet and his voice. Amen.